Born in the grip of oppression, I fought for my liberty. I paid with the blood of my people. Freedom has never been free. Now my door's always open,
my door's always open
to dreamers and friends.
Dreamers and friends.
Oh, when I'm attacked,
oh, oh, oh,
I protect and defend, because my name is America.
Hello, everyone, and welcome. This is Karen Schoen, and you are listening to the Prism of America's Education, brought to you on the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network with my wonderful sponsor, the Florida Citizens Alliance. An amazing job they are doing, folks, and they are having a convention. Just go to goflca.org and click on the events page, and all of the information about the conference will appear. And sending them to those public indoctrination clinics is certainly not going to help anybody. Well, we had a phenomenon going on this past week, and it was called a solar eclipse. And when we talk about things that are going on with the climate and science, I always like to refer to Sterling Burnett, who writes an incredible newsletter that you should all get from the Heartland Institute called Climate Change Weekly. And there is so much information there. I'm so thankful. Thank you for joining me, Sterling. It is a pleasure always to have you on.
I think good to be on again.
Oh, thank you. Sterling, I have read so many ridiculous things about a solar eclipse and how the devil worshiper used to do all kinds of atrocities during the solar eclipse because the gods were mad and blah, blah, blah. What is that really all about?
Well, I've got, honestly, Karen, I've got no idea. I don't follow the mythos of pagans, and you know, you see the movies, and they're always sacrificing virgins for one thing or another, the earthquakes or the volcanoes, or so. Maybe some people did the same kind of thing during the eclipse. All I know, it's a spectacular. It's supposed to be a spectacular event. I had plans to actually be in the middle of the totality. We had our glasses and we had a location. One of my relatives has some land right in the middle of where it's going to be last the longest. I mean, literally, it's supposed to last full blackout for more than 4 minutes where she lives. And sadly, the storms rolled in, and
humans should be able to stop those storms from coming in, according to our government.
Exactly. Yeah. No, it's gonna be dark, and it's gonna be darker still. But it won't. we won't be needing those solar eclipse glasses, it turns out.
What a shame. Yeah, we had the same issue in Florida. Every time we have something, go and see this, go and see that planet, and it's going to do this. And then you get the message that says, and then the clouds are rolled in. Yeah. So I'm like, well, why doesn't everybody go out and yell at them and stop them? Yeah. You know, we're in charge, right? And I got a big, heavy question for you. How does paying more taxes to the government stop the climate from changing?
Well, I guess the short answer is it doesn't. And that's probably all the answer it merits. But they seem to think paying more for everything is what will take to stop the climate. You pay more to fly because we're going to make your fuel cost more expensive, you know, airline fuel more expensive. Well, that's going to help fight climate change. You pay more to drive by making only electric vehicles available, not being able to charge them because the electric grid's down because you've gone to all wind and solar. Somehow that's going to block climate change. It would be funny if it weren't so tragically true and sad. I mean, the Biden administration just put out a rule 2 weeks ago, the most stringent vehicle emission rule ever. It's to cut greenhouse gas emissions from automobiles. They claim themselves it's the most stringent rule ever. They say it's technology neutral. If you can figure out how to make an internal combustion engine that produces no greenhouse gas emissions, then you can keep making them. Otherwise, pick your technology. The technology that they say you'll pick is electric for more than half the cars. They currently constitute about 6% of the sales today and 1% of all vehicles on the road. So that's going to be a big jump.
And aren't the car manufacturers stopping the electric vehicles because nobody wants them? Isn't that a
surprise? Yeah, Ford just announced it was not going to introduce its new vehicles. They've cut back. Well, they lost $6 billion last year on their EVs. I think GM made 18 Chevy electric trucks last year. The problem is the car makers can say they're not going to do it. It looks like some of them are going to start shifting back to hybrids, that was supposed to be the interim. Toyota said he's not going to do it. They're going to focus on hybrids. And hybrids are allowed for in this plan by a certain percent. The people don't want them. They don't want cars that explode when they're sitting in your garage while they're charging. They don't want cars that run out of juice a quarter of a way through your vacation. That you have to spend basically the vacation charging them if you can find the stations. People don't know it. We've already got 161,000 charging stations across the country. It's 20,000 more than we have gasoline stations, and yet we still can't keep cars charged. In California, they're told not to charge them during the summer when their power outages are going on, or it'll cause worse power outages. Well, of course, how are you supposed to get to work if you're not charging your vehicle? It is the height of stupidity, the government in this. I mean, we had power grids that were designed by engineers. We had transportation systems that were designed by engineers and economists. Now they're designed by politicians who are neither engineers nor economists, and it's failing. It's predictably failing. And Biden, they refused. The Biden administration refused to say how much warming that their rule would prevent, how much sea level rise it would prevent. They said, well, that's not how we measure success of this program. How do you measure success? By how many people get off the road? By how many people are stranded on the highways? That's your measure of success? So some other groups did calculations doing a climate model that's often used to calculate. It's called MAGIC. I can't think. It's a model. It's got a long name. Model of Applied something, something, something. Anyway. They did a calculation on this emissions rule because the Biden administration does tell you how many emissions it's supposed to prevent. And they calculated that 100 years from now, Biden's emissions rule would prevent 0.00065 of degree of warming. In other words, less warming than can be measured by any instrument today. So pain, it's all pain, no gain.
Yeah, this is all about control because and redistribution of wealth. They want control over the human population. They don't want us to be mobile. And to listen to that Secretary of Transportation, Mayor Pete Buttigieg, who can't get out of his own way, talk about how people are just requesting those EVs and the sales are up. So,
or the Secretary of Energy who plans an EV PR stunt to travel across the country and then has to send her underlings out to kick people off the charging stations so she doesn't run out before she gets there and so she can charge when she gets there and still runs out. They have to drive a van dragging a diesel generator behind it so they can charge it on the road. That's your success there for the Secretary of Energy.
Yeah, I think I also read that we gave the transportation, I think, $2.5 billion to build charging stations. And in the last 3 years, they've only built 7. How does that work?
I guess they're gold plated.
Must be.
Station. I'll tell you, you know, the thing that worries me, there's a lot of things that worry me about this whole program, but I think about these charging stations, right? You think about these charging stations and where they're going to have to set them up. And some of these things are going to have to set up in fairly isolated locations, but you don't have to be isolated to have a problem with copper thieves, right?
Right.
People in the cities are going to homes and stripping copper from your air conditioner. Abandoned buildings are being stripped. So they already find when they've done these tests, I think it was Car and Driver or one of the auto magazines, and then Ford tried the same thing, their CEO. They tried to drive long distances, with this routes where they could tell where the charging stations were and everything. And then they find out, they get there and they find out that the stations didn't work, that they were broken, or they wouldn't accept your payment system, or, and then, like I said, you think about these copper thieves, how many times are you going to be going across, let's say, the desert, Death Valley in your EV? You've been running your air conditioning. It is Death Valley after all. So you're going low and you get to that charging station that's on your map and it's been stripped of the copper.
Imagine.
Just crazy.
Also, they're going to have to put them in all different places. Imagine you have to sit there on an isolated area for an hour to get your car charged.
Yeah. Well,
that's kind of scary.
That's by the way, if you have one of those fast chargers. That can give you a 20 to 80% charge in 30 minutes to an hour. If you've got a slow charge, if you've got a normal charger, you know, you're sitting there for 12 hours. Imagine this, you know, they say, oh no, we'll just set these up at the gas stations, right? So you've got your service stations all along the highway where they're convenient for travelers, right? And so now you're getting off at your service station, except the cars are backed up for miles onto the highway, off the service road and onto the highway, because they're waiting for those chargers to open up. These are the nightmare scenarios that you can imagine with this new mandate. And the problem is it doesn't do much for climate. It doesn't satisfy what people want. People are not demanding electric vehicles. They can do it with their dollars today. You know who are demanding them? Well, not really demanding them. Rich people who want a second or third car, and then they can virtue signal as they go to the grocery store in their EV.
Yeah.
Sterling, it's one of these things where the government shouldn't be telling people how to drive or what to drive.
What happens when we run out of fossil fuel? That's the next scare. I don't think so.
You mean 200 and 300 years from now? Gosh, I don't know. I don't have my crystal ball, so I can't tell what the world will look like 200 years from now when we run out of oil or natural gas, or 400 years when we run out of coal. Those are known reserves. That's what we know with present technology. That's not even what we might find with new technology. So I'm not overly concerned about running out of fossil fuels. I'm more concerned about politicians denying us access to those fossil fuels when they're still valuable, until we got a new technology that gives us as much power, as reliable power, as cheaply as they do.
Yes, and we have heard from the governor of Alaska, who said that they have decimated the economy of Alaska because under Trump, they were relying on fossil fuel. I believe one of the largest reserves is in Alaska, and the state was booming. And what people don't realize is that the state of Alaska was booming. So what was happening to the people in Alaska? Well, the government of Alaska was able to give the people back rebates because they had extra money. And that was what America's all about. It's not one person's idea to say, that's my fuel reserve. It's not. It belongs to the people. It belongs to the state where it's found. And it should be used to enhance that state. And they never let that happen.
Well, I'll say this. We in Texas, all of us are suffering under Biden's, you go to the gas station and every time I fill up, I say, thank you, Joe Biden. for giving me 6 gallons of fuel for what I used to get 10 gallons of fuel before you were in office. I appreciate that. So as a consumer, it doesn't matter where you are. I don't think anyone's happy about gasoline prices, except for the extreme environmentalists who don't want you driving. But as a Texan who knows that our economy here, a lot of it's built on oil and natural gas, we say, thank you, Joe Biden, because prices are high. And on private and state land in Texas, we're producing oil and gas. We're supplying the nation. And so our economy is doing really well. Greg Abbott's done a good job as governor for our economy. And Biden, you know, this is the Biden boom because he's helping us out by keeping oil prices high, by restraining production here, by keeping us in constant war. You know, Texas's economy is doing pretty well. So the consumers are suffering under high prices, but the oil field workers are benefiting.
Well, at least we have the Texas oil, and at least we have something to offset, because I also read that they're not going to be refilling the strategic oil reserves anytime soon. So heaven forbid we get into World War III, which they seem to be pushing, and that's a whole other topic.
I'm real torn about that. You know,
I'm very concerned about that.
He sold out our oil reserves just before the election, trying to lower prices so he could get a boost at the polls, you know, in the voting booth. And he sold millions of barrels of oil to China, by the way. So he did that for election reasons, not for national security, which was the SPR was designed for. But now he says he's not going to fill it. But honestly, I'm half torn, because as much as I'd like the oil to be in there, in the past, when they filled the reserve, they filled it when prices were low. And when they've sold it, they sold it when prices were high. If he started filling it now, he'd be filling it when prices are higher than they've ever been. America would be paying more for oil than it's ever paid to fill the reserve. So I'm a little torn about that. It's not like we aren't already running record deficits and debt. So I don't know.
That's true. Well, we had a couple of items that came up that have been blamed on climate change. And of course, humans are responsible for that. So I'd like you to comment on, do you think the earthquake in New York and the Northeast was climate change, as we're now hearing, and it's our fault? How do we stop an earthquake?
One dim bulb politician running for Senate up there, actually, did blame the earthquake on climate change. There's just, you know, one little problem with that claim, and that's that climate change has nothing to do with earthquakes. Even the IPCC, the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, has never, ever once said climate change has anything to do with earthquakes. As alarmist as it is on many things, it's never once tried to tie climate change to earthquakes. I've seen that there have been about 3 articles in the history that I can find have tried to tie climate change to earthquakes. NASA says it's bunk. Everybody says it's bunk. What they say is, oh well, it relieves or adds water pressure to the surface of the Earth. You know, if you melt the ice, well, the Earth bounces back, and that can create earthquakes. Well, I'm sorry, but there's not new added water, you know, falling heavy snow or light snow. You know, it's like it causes either way, according to the people that believe it causes it. If you get too much snow or rain, well, that can cause an earthquake. But they're called micro seismic activity because they're 0 to less than 1. If you get too little rain, well, the Earth bounces back and it causes tremors. The problem is New York and New Jersey weren't suffering any of that. Even on the weird distant connections the few people have tried to make. But the IPCC says it's bunk. Nobody credible says earthquakes are caused by climate change. And that's why a politician is claiming it, because they have no credibility on the issue.
Now, we did have an eruption, and that was the Hunga Tonga eruption.
Yes.
And I just read that there's another, what is it, Mount Etna, also has been spewing. So how is that going to affect the climate and we as humans, are we going to get a big cork and go shove it down Mount Etna and tell it to stop spewing CO2, everybody?
Well, it's not the CO2 that they emit that contributes when they do. It's the sulfur dioxide. Pinatubo, the big earthquake that erupted in Indonesia back in the 1800s.
Yes, I don't remember.
I want to say Pinatubo, but I'm not sure that's right. In any case, when it erupted, they actually had what they called the 2 years in a row. They called them the years without summer. Because it put so much ash and SO2 in the air that it reflected sunlight and the earth cooled. And they had failed crops and everything. So earthquakes can have that impact, but of course they have nothing to do with humans. But Hunga Tonga is a little different. I don't know what Etna's going to do. I don't know if it'll put enough stuff in the atmosphere to have an impact. But Hunga Tonga was a very unusual volcanic eruption. It was undersea, but it was in sort of a sweet spot undersea. It wasn't so deep that the impact of the eruption didn't reach the atmosphere, the stratosphere even. And what it did is it ejected billions of tons of H2O water vapor into the atmosphere, including into the stratosphere. And a lot of people don't realize it. Water... H2O, water vapor, is the largest greenhouse gas in the atmosphere. It's not CO2. CO2 is a very small part. H2O is the largest part, and it ejected the equivalent of 10% of the atmospheric H2O into the atmosphere. So wow. That is actually, it has two different effects depending on where in the atmosphere you are. In the upper atmosphere, in the stratosphere, it actually has a cooling effect because of the way it... reflect sunlight. But in the lower atmosphere, because the way the cloud formation and water vapor retains heat, it has a warming effect. And so last year, 2023, the eruption was in 2022. In 2023, you know, you hear a lot of stuff about, oh, the warmest year on record. Well, a large part of that warmth is due to two factors that have nothing to do, once again, with humans. I've never seen, even a politician hasn't linked the Hunga Tonga eruption to climate change. I haven't seen that. It may be coming. So the Hunga Tonga eruption put 10% more H2O into the atmosphere. Well, that has a warming effect in the lower atmosphere. And we had an El Nino, which has a warming effect on the water. So we had a very warm year in 2023. Not the warmest year ever, but warm. And so those two factors have nothing to do with human-caused climate change, but they contributed to that warming. And yet every headline shouted, oh, proof of climate change. Oh, it's climate change. No.
Oh, that's how they came up with this is the warmest year on record. And I always ask them, what record? How far back are you going?
Yeah, well, there you go.
You know, if you're talking about the last 10 years, yeah, it's the warmest on record. If you go back to the 1930s and beyond, you're going to find that there was a lot of times then it was the warmest year on record. But they don't want to believe that. They don't want to hear that. And they're not interested. Sterling, thank you so much for joining me today. Would you tell everybody, please, where they can find you and those fabulous articles? Folks, sign up for the newsletter. It is fantastic. You will learn so much. And that's what this is all about. You can't have a good conversation if you don't know the facts, just like Hunga Tonga. And when they start telling you the warmest on record, well, it's pretty soon, I guess they're going to be telling us it's the coldest summer on record because we're going to have a La Nina. So, and that
we'll have a La Nina and Mount Etna and it'll cool. And they'll say, oh, that has nothing to do with the climate change. That's nature. It's nature when it's not doing what they want. It's which means not warming because they want it warming because they want to control. And it's humans when it is doing what they want. So there you go.
There we go. And it has nothing to do with paying the government more money. So put that one aside.
Or ceding more control. It's even less more money. It's ceding more control to government.
Right.
Government doesn't make more money if you buy an electric vehicle, and you know, a modest amount of taxes probably. No, it's just they get to control how you travel and when you travel and where you can travel to. It's when they tell you what your appliances can be, yeah, you pay more, but the government's not making a lot more. It's just about them controlling how, you know, well, if your power goes out, you can't cook if you got an electric stove. It's all about ceding more control to those who believe they know best how you should live.
Thank you, Sterling. And where can everyone find you?
Well, they can go to www.heartland.org. They can sign up for my newsletter, Climate Change Weekly, there. Or they can go daily. They can go to climaterealism.com or climateataglance.com. That's not a daily, but that's if you want a quick reference for all the major climate topics, go to climateataglance.com and see the one-page materials we have there on different topics.
Thank you so much for joining me, folks. This is Karen Schoen. You've been listening to The Prism of America's Education, brought to you on the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network with my wonderful sponsor, the Florida Citizens Alliance. Don't go away. We will be right back.
You've all heard Dr. McCullough and others share over and over the value of keeping your sinuses cleansed. It's a smart move all year, but even more so when we're cooped up inside. It's not really open for debate any longer. Those that live smart and live well pay attention to nasal and oral hygiene. Cofix RX has just the tools for the job with our nasal and throat cleanse. Click the Cofix RX banner on AmericaOutloud.shop to get 20% off your entire order. That's right, AmericaOutloud.shop. Use coupon code OUTLOUD. That's coupon code OUTLOUD for 20% off your entire order.
Use Cofix RX because it works.
World-class care from doctors you can trust, all from the comfort of your home. That is One Wellness. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company launched the One Wellness membership to provide free monthly supplements and unlimited telemedicine access with doctors that share your values. The Wellness Company's chief medical board designed every supplement and medical protocol with your health in mind. From groundbreaking supplements like the Spike Support Formula to unique care like Freedom from Big Pharma. Join a healthcare system that puts your health and well-being above the interest of Big Pharma's bottom line. It's the way healthcare should be, with a company that shares your values. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first month of One Wellness.
Cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Often, there are no symptoms, but left unattended, we become inundated with one health problem after another. It's time to fight back with Heal Right. Heal Right is a bar that you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Developed by world-renowned scientists and backed by 15 years of research, Heal Right is effective, but it's also delicious and works without additional diet or lifestyle changes. Step out of the statistics and use food as medicine. Visit healright.com/outloud or americaoutloud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
The buildup of spike proteins is dangerous to your health. Global Healing's Foreign Protein Cleanse detoxes your body, removing the spike proteins, allowing your body to repair from within. Formulated by Dr. Edward Group and by Dr. Brian Artis, Foreign Protein Cleanse targets and detoxes spike proteins in the body. Go to AmericaOutloud.shop and get 15% off using the code OUTLOUD. Global Healing, giving you the power to take control of your health naturally.
58 million people suffer from joint aches and stiffness in the U.S. every day. Ignoring chronic joint discomfort can affect mobility and your quality of life. Advanced nutrition company, Healthy Cell, created joint health and mobility to support connective tissue, joint lubrication, and reduce joint irritation with curcumin, omega-3, chondroitin, glucosamine, and hyaluronic acid for joint comfort and flexible range of motion. And Healthy Cell's not a pill. It's a patent-pending gel you swallow with clinically proven ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients. You would need to take 11 pills to get the same amount of nutrients in each gel pack. And these great-tasting gels come in a small packet. tear off the top, shoot it down, or mix it in water. It's 100% drug-free joint support. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. HealthyCell.com, code OUTLOUD for 25% off.
Oral hygiene hasn't changed in 50 years, but our diet and the way we eat has, creating an environment in your mouth for bacteria to wreak havoc on your teeth and gums. For better oral health, get Spry Dental Defense, an oral care line designed to combat acid-creating bacteria. The toothpaste, mouthwash, mints, and gum all contain xylitol, a natural ingredient shown to dramatically improve oral health. Spry can be found online and at all fine natural retailers.
A suppression of truth in a world of darkness, void of any soul, requires that we are rightly informed, properly equipped, and strongly motivated to fight the corruption. AmericaOutloud.news is that place to awaken your heart, soul, and mind to the Outloud truth. Now is our time. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Karen Schoen. You're listening to the Prism of America's Education, brought to you on the America Out Loud Dot News Network with my wonderful sponsor, the Florida Citizens Alliance. I cannot say enough again about the Alliance and the wonderful work that they are doing to help get our kids out of those disgusting, disgraceful public schools that are teaching nothing. They are not teaching. When we look at Chicago, oh my God, 11% of the kids that can read and write, and yet in the 80s and 90s percentile, are graduating and going where and doing what? They are not prepared for anything. It is a travesty. Folks, get your kids out of those public schools the best way you can. And the Florida Citizens Alliance, goflca.org, has a wonderful program called the Micro School. Please take a look at it. It's so important. You can create a micro school in your neighborhood. You certainly don't have to be in Florida to do that. So it's up to us. If we're going to have a future, we have to start at the beginning. And to me, the beginning is, it's the curricula, stupid. And if we don't fix the curricula, parental choice means nothing, because it doesn't matter where your kids are going to learn to be nothing. It doesn't matter what the location is. It's what they are learning that's important. And this is where I always come in with affirmative action, because I believe affirmative action is, and the affirmative action graduates are running this country, which is why we are in such a mess. Because one of the things that affirmative action does not teach is common sense, and actions have results, and those results have consequences. And they never forecast out what the consequences might be. It's like the stupid EV mandates that are being forced upon the automotive industry without recognizing the fact that, where are you going to plug these cars in? Where are you going to get your energy? Where are you getting your electricity? Oh, from fossil fuel. So how does that actually work? And now we see that we have spent $2.5 billion to the energy company to create charging stations. And in the last 3 years, they have come up with 7 charging stations. So how is that going to work? We don't have a grid that can handle it. And it doesn't just stay in the automotive industry. That filters through every single industry that we are involved in as a country. If we are training mediocre people, guess what? We get a mediocre product. And that can be a disaster. And one of the things that we have been focused on is the aviation industry, because flying is an important part of our transportation industry. We're flying all over the place all the time, whether it's work or family related, it doesn't, or just to go vacation related, it doesn't matter. That flying is so important in a country that is so huge like America. So I got to be very curious when I saw all of those problems that Boeing was having. And I said, okay, let me talk to my good friend, Kenny Edwards, who is a pilot, and find out from him what his take is. Now, Kenny and I have known each other since the Tea Party days, so we go back a long time, but we have had a lot of divergence in the things that we have done. And Kenny has been, as I said, he's a pilot. So I have a question for you, Kenny, and thank you for joining me today. Do you see any ramifications in the aviation industry about this horrific education that our kids are not getting?
Yeah, I've actually been seeing it for a number of years. I remember seeing it when I was, just before I was a pilot. This is back in the 90s. You can see that they were filling positions with people that were clearly not qualified. I was in ground operations at a major airline. And, it was quite an education to actually see it. But when I became a pilot, there was just so much evidence of it everywhere. And, when I first started flying it, it was noticeable, but it certainly wasn't at the level where it scared you. But now, clearly, it absolutely scares you.
So what are we going to do about this wonderful industry that is desperately needed in our country? We can't have people being afraid to get on a plane. How do you get from New York to California in 3 hours to do a business deal if that is what you had to do, or to sightsee in the Grand Canyon or wherever it is that you're going? How do you get there without planes? What would we do? So what can we do about this, Kenny? This is really not good, is it?
No, it's, as you say, it's common sense. It's not real difficult to hire the most qualified person for the job, regardless of gender or sexual preference or age or whatever barriers they happen to throw up. You're 100% correct when it comes to the economy. Or the aviation industry. The economy essentially thrives because of the aviation industry. And over, the time period that I was a pilot, the technology got better. And it's still, even though you can have, Zoom meetings like this and you had other ways to communicate, people still wanted to meet face to face. Not just vacations, of course, but even in business. Excuse me. So you have to have a reliable aviation system. And, all you got to do is look at the transportation secretary, and you can tell that this administration is not taking any of this seriously. But to break it down even more, at least, in my opinion, they are hiring people for, the sake of checking a box or a demographic. And it's not one particular group. It could be anybody. I flew with a guy, a 30-year captain, at an airline I was with a few years ago. And he told me that when he started, he was trying to be an air traffic controller. And he was in training, and his boss walked up to him one day and said, "You need to get out of here and get out now because you're a white male." And he thought he was joking because he'd paid, or gone through the training and really that was his ambition, was to become a controller. And his boss said, if you're smart, you'll run now. So this guy left and he decided to become a pilot instead. And the irony is he died a couple years ago, right as this was really starting to get to the point where the aviation industry is screaming that they don't have enough pilots. The last number that I saw was they estimate being 24,000 pilots short worldwide by next year.
Oh my gosh.
That's assuming.
I didn't realize it was that disastrous.
Well, here's the kicker, Karen. I can't buy a job. I have thousands and thousands of hours, almost all of them flying in the airline environment, not just a tiny airplane out on some patch in, you know, your backyard. This is, you know, aviation or excuse me, airline flying. I have years of experience. And when I got out, I thought, when they start getting desperate for pilots, my being on a blacklist, which obviously I've been on for quite a while, that the blacklist would kind of have to melt away because, you know, money is money. But right now, the airplanes that are operated by the companies I'm applying at, they're taking these planes that are under lease, prematurely putting them in these desert airports. And from what I'm hearing now, they're going to be selling them for pennies on the dollar to countries like Mexico for them to operate. So you've got companies that are paying a lease on an aircraft that they can't, according to them, find the pilots to fly. But when I call them and go online and do the application process and get an interview, and the interview goes great, and every single time I get a Dear John letter in the email a week or two later, and they will never tell me why. So explain to me how there's a horrible crisis and they can't find pilots. But yet here you have a white Christian male in his 50s that has all the credentials, that has a perfect safety record. I don't have any criminal record. I don't have any FAA record. And they won't hire me. None of them will. And I'm not on here to complain about my own personal situation. I just think it illustrates a much bigger point, which is they are talking about a problem that they intentionally are not going to fix.
Well, that is always what the left does. That is always what the globalists do. That's always what the progressives do. They create the problem, and they create it that it can never have a solution. Because if it had a solution, we wouldn't need them. And therefore, there can never be a solution. And by putting incompetent people to manage the aviation industry and to hire more incompetent people, well, we have doors and wheels and all kinds of things falling off of planes. And eventually, people are going to be afraid, which will, of course, make the prices go up. And the reality, I believe, is if we go back to the globalist roots, they don't want you to be mobile. They don't want you to get around easy. They want you to be stuck in your 15-minute city where you have to ask permission so they know everything that you're doing every time you do something. Now, Kenny, you said you were blacklisted, and I remember our original talk was you were a whistleblower. So can you tell us how did your case work out, and how did you feel the workings of the system that you were involved in? Was that favorable? Did it help? How did you feel about the way you were treated?
Well, the system itself, my opinion here, is designed for somebody that has a situation that's where they have spoken out and apparently stepped on the wrong toes. It's designed to make sure that person never gets any kind of a resolution or a favorable resolution to anything through the court system. And they essentially put the proverbial gun to your head, and they make it to where, yeah, you can fight it, but good luck. You know, you don't have to look any further than what Donald Trump's going through right now to understand that my opinion here, my experience, the court system is gone. I just don't believe that it exists anymore. I've had more than one serious case that, you know, there was a definitely a wrong that needed to be righted. And the court system is the last place you would go to do that now. And the way I see it in general terms, it was originally designed to protect us from them meaning the people that are, you know, in the system, the government. Now it's designed, it's been morphed to where it protects them from us. And I've, you know, being a whistleblower, you wind up in a community of whistleblowers from industries that are far different than yours. And we all have the same story. We all have this, and some of us were dealt with much more harsh than others. You know, I've told you in a previous interview that you and I have done, my stepdaughter disappeared for a year. And I recently spoke to an attorney that he has exposed a great deal of corruption in you know, Arizona, Nevada, California. And when he spoke out about it, his son disappeared. He had his credit destroyed three different times. He's an attorney. He makes good money. I've had my credit destroyed. So you start looking at the playbook, the scorecard, and you can pretty much, you know, match everything up from one whistleblower to the next. The playbook doesn't change. When they want you to shut up, that's one thing. But when they want to punish you for, apparently the rest of your life, that's what they do. And they somehow wind up with all of your private information, and they make sure that you don't get ahead. The jobs or the careers or whatever it is that you want that means the most to you, believe me, they surveil you. They know who you are, and they make sure you don't get it.
You know, you're absolutely right, because we were involved in a situation and we had to go up against a big company, which was at that time Westinghouse. We were in the telecommunications industry, and we reported what Westinghouse was doing, which was double selling their time. This is when time was sold as minutes, not bulk. No such thing as unlimited. You paid for your minutes. And what they were doing was they were selling time to us, and then they were selling the same platform and the same time to other companies. And when we reported that, first the judge gave us and rewarded us with, said we were right and we should get our money back, et cetera, et cetera, and we should have compensation. And everything was fine until we actually went to get our money. And then all of a sudden, the judge said, well, they said that they weren't represented fairly by their lawyer, so you have to redo the case all over again. It cost us a fortune, and we weren't rich people at that time, nor are we now. But in the meantime, I told them, I said, if you allow this to happen, what is going to happen is this carrier that was working with Westinghouse is going to declare bankruptcy and we're going to get nothing. That's what this is all designed to do. And guess what? That's exactly what happened. And we wound up with nothing. And it was then that I realized that this, to me, affirmative action judge, because she had no right being on the bench, you don't take phone calls in the middle of your trial and come back with different decisions. How does that work? And that's exactly what was going on. In the meantime, here we are paying our attorney for hours and hours and hours only to have this judge being listening to someone else telling her what to do and how to rule. And when we left, another attorney that was watching the trial came over to me and said, you really picked the wrong judge. You got a raw deal. She doesn't know what she's doing. And I mean, this is what we see now going on all over the place. This is not just in the judicial system. This is going on all over in every industry. And I, as a teacher, go back to the beginning and say this is the result of graduating affirmative action people that know nothing, have no common sense, can't critically think. And we are living the results of that. So this is a very serious issue. Now, Kenny, you are still in the aviation industry. So what would you suggest? Do you think there's anything that we can do?
Well, the only thing that hurts them is not flying on them. It's, we watch the industry morph into just being a few major carriers. So you don't really have a choice anymore. It's not like if you have a bad experience with one airline, you can say, I'm never flying you again, because they're the only one that serves your area. And that was by design. So it's obviously going to be very difficult to hurt them. But my advice to people, drive. Stay off of the airlines as much as you possibly can. I do. I was in Florida several times the last 6 months, and I drove almost every time. And it's not because I'm afraid to fly. I guess from a pilot's perspective, you play the odds in your head. And for some reason, you don't think in those terms, or at least I don't. But I can tell you that if you want to make the situation dire for the airlines and for the governing agencies, don't use them. You know, cut off the money and force them to have to scramble and make the adjustments that need to be made. But you talk about affirmative action, and Karen, I looked it up years ago because I was curious where it came from. And what I was able to find is the Civil Rights Act had very vague language in it. And that was one of the biggest complaints by those who were going to vote no on the act. The congressmen were asking questions about this preferential hiring for minorities. And, you know, the LBJ administration and everybody that was behind the act kept saying, don't worry about it, that's not a problem. Well, come to find out, they've been doing this for well over a century. And that is, they know how to put vague language in a major bill. And in this case, the Civil Rights Act. And they know that the bill itself is not going to be definitive. It's going to be the first Supreme Court challenge. And they've got their Supreme Court justices that of course they have compromised, that will change the language just enough, or I should say rule on the language just enough to where it becomes law now. So they knew that, you know, in the mid 60s when this bill passed, it wasn't going to be affirmative action from that point on, but it was going to be, you know, a little bit of time before somebody challenged it in court, and it worked its way up to the Supreme Court. And that's where it becomes our reality. It becomes law. And at that point, you know, the black robe thing, there's nothing you can do about it, supposedly. But that's where I found that it came from. And it was very calculated. And it has crept into our lives. So in lately, of course, so much more, but in general, it's crept into our lives to the point where they've created the same problem that they were saying that they were trying to eliminate. And in some cases, they've made it worse.
Well, you are absolutely right. And that's why the justices said that colleges cannot use race to, of course, they don't listen. That's the other problem. But they can't use race to pick their candidates for that year. Sorry about that. Candidates cannot use race to become part of the institution. And this is a big issue. I believe the Asian community was an Asian group that sued Harvard because they had a quota on Asians. And to them, the Asians were too smart. So, I mean, right now, as far as I'm concerned, there isn't anything that we can do with education except, as you said, take away the money and stop sending our kids to those indoctrination clinics where they're learning nothing. And that is a big issue. That's a big problem. And I see that seems to be the solution in every industry. And yes, you're right, drive. And don't drive an electric car because you won't be able to charge it. So please.
You won't get very far.
You won't get very far and you won't be able to charge it. But by saying no, by not complying, one of the things that I keep on saying over and over again is that they're making rules. And rules are not laws until they become a law. So there is no reason why we have to comply with their rules. So now when you choose your candidates, who you're going to vote for, we have to ask them the right question. Are they going to follow the rules of the federal government? because they're not made in our legislature. And if they're not made in the legislature, they're not laws. Why are we following them? And that's where the Ninth and Tenth Amendment comes in, that most people have no idea what it even is. So education is well-rounded, serves every industry, and lack thereof makes us a mediocre country with mediocre tools and mediocre services. And that's no way to be great. So we need to make real adjustments. And as I say all the time, it's the curricula, stupid. So let's work on that. Kenny, thank you so much for joining me today. Really appreciate your insight. And it is always wonderful to talk to you. And hopefully you'll come back again.
Love to. Thanks for having me, Karen.
My pleasure. Folks, you have been listening to The Prism of America's Education, brought to you on the AmericaOutloud.news network with my wonderful sponsor, the Florida Citizens Alliance. Thank you all for listening. You have a great week, and stop buying into their inferior products wherever you can. Look for things that are worthy, worthwhile of where you're going to be spending your dollar, because things are going to be getting more expensive and you don't want to spend it on garbage. Folks, don't forget to try those delicious Heal Right bars. You can find them on the AmericaOutloud.news website. And if you put in the keyword out loud, you'll get a 20% discount. Now, what are those bars and what do they do? Well, they help your metabolic health, and they are effective and delicious, and they work without any additional dieting or any lifestyle changes, which to me is always great. So I have one for breakfast every morning. It is delicious, and I am fit for the rest of the day. And guess what else? I have also lost some weight, which is always a good thing. So try them and let me know how you're doing, because I find that they work. And that's the most important thing. Thank you all for listening. See you again next week.